Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A 1960s nightmare. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Jumi ai royal marcoi malperis. Jumi esta yuna. Belega. Ĉu vi deziras min?
Mi deziras vin. Kio okazas al Vareno? Kio trinkas ĉe la vino en la mezo de la tago?
Incubus, a horror film released in 1966, has many distinctions. First, it made careers. It stars a pre-Star Trek William Shatner who gained notice in his surrealistic role, a role that may have gotten him into the room for his Star Trek audition. Also, it was shot by legendary cinematographer Conrad Hall, who went on to win 3 Academy Awards for his work on Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, American Beauty, and Road to Perdition. Second, the film was performed entirely in the constructed language of Esperanto. If you want to know more about Esperanto, we have a whole episode on it from May 29th of 2020, an old mini-fail called The Esperanto Language, a link to which will be in the show notes. But I digress. The third and darkest distinction of this macabre, satanic horror film? Its curse, which reached beyond the cast itself and, according to fans and conspiracy theorists, encapsulated bankruptcy, death, and a possible Manson family connection. Let's talk about the 1966 cult classic Incubus and the series of events that led the public to believe in its heartbreaking, deadly curse. Incubus was conceived of by Leslie Stevens, whose science fiction series, The Outer Limits, you may have heard of it, gained a cult following. The show, which was broadcast on ABC from September 16, 1963 to January 16, 1965, was canceled in its second season after moving from Monday to Saturday night, where it competed with comic juggernaut Jackie Gleason. But Stevens loved his Outer Limits team and wrote a horror movie script to make use of their talents. But that wasn't quite enough for the TV director to get his film made. They needed a hook, something to make their film unique. So producer Anthony M. Taylor suggested they shoot the film not in English, but Esperanto. Everyone got on board, and the script was translated into the strange, vaguely Spanish-sounding language, and the actors rehearsed for 10 days to learn their lines phonetically, in preparation for the 18-day shoot. Incubus began filming in May of 1965, at the picturesque Big Sur Beach and other parts of Monterey County, an apt backdrop for a film about love, lust, magic wells, and the Prince of Darkness. Set in the fictional village of Nomen Tomb, the premise of the film is that the village had a well that can heal sick and make people beautiful. Because of this beauty element, lots of assholes would come to the village. But along with health and beauty, the village also had a reputation for darkness and demons. Demons like succubi, who would entice tourists looking for that sweet magic well and lead them to their death, offering their souls up to their dark lord Satan. One young succubus named Kia, played by Leslie Stevens' own wife, Allison Ames, is tired of taking souls to hell. She's bored. She wants a challenge. Her sister succubus, Amiel, played by Eloise Hart, warns Kia that pure souls are dangerous, the danger being that succubi run the risk of falling in love with them, and that would be a mess. Kia doesn't care, though. She finds who she thinks is a good boy, a pious clergyman, but he's just as bad as the rest. So then she finds a better victim, a young heroic soldier named Mark, played by William Shatner, who comes to Nomen Tomb with his sister Arndis, played by Anna Atmar, to heal his war wounds in the well. After a witchy eclipse, Arndis becomes blind from the moon while Kia convinces Mark to accompany her into the sea. But a moment of seduction turns into something more, and Mark and Kia quickly become attracted to each other. Mark, thinking that this could actually be something, takes Kia to church to show her that an emotional relationship can be just as good as sex. But surprise, surprise, church is like poison to succubi, and she immediately leaves, repulsed. In an act of revenge for Mark daring to show her a Christian way out of her lifestyle, and injuring Kia's sister, Amael summons an incubus pal, played by Milos Milos, in revenge. This man, succubus, attempts to kill Mark and succeeds in raping Arndis. Kia, who is now dying from her church exposure, goes back to the cathedral where Mark is still hanging out and admits her love for him. But unfortunately, she belongs to Satan, who comes at her in the form of a goat and wrestles her down as she professes that she, quote, belongs to the God of Light. I don't want to spoil the film for you, but the ending is somewhat ambiguous anyway. Kia crawls towards Mark, who embraces her as the goat stares the two of them down ominously. Mere weeks after the film wraps, tragedy immediately strikes. Actor Anne Atmar, who played Shatner's sister, Arndis, shocked friends and family when she took her own life. Months after that, Serbian actor Milos Milos, born Milos Milosevic, who played the succubi in the film, murdered his girlfriend Barbara Ann Thomason. Thomason was an actor and a beauty queen. She's got a kind of Marilyn Monroe look to her, and while her and Milos were publicly dating, it was complicated. More than being an actor, Thomason was known for being a celebrity wife, and was still technically married to Mickey Rooney, his fifth wife and mother to four of his children. On January 30th, 1966, Milos and Thomas were found dead in Mickey Rooney's Los Angeles house. According to police reports, Milos had shot Thomason with Rooney's chrome-plated .38 caliber revolver and then ended his own life. But some suspect Rooney was to blame, a violent revenge plot against his estranged wife, who was attempting to move on. Despite these heartbreaking incidents, on October 26, 1966, Incubus premiered at the San Francisco Film Festival. There, a group of 50 to 100 Esperanto enthusiasts, quote, screamed and laughed at the actor's poor pronunciation of the language. Not only that, the very public news of Milos and Thomason's death gave the film a scandalous reputation, and not in a good way, and Incubus was unable to find any distribution except in France, where it premiered to French audiences in November 1966. Not directly because of the film's lackluster rollout, but maybe it had an effect, director Leslie Stevens and actor Allison Ames divorced, and Stevens' production company Daystar went bankrupt. But the biggest scandal was to come. For now, let's take a break.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Hello.
How are you doing?
You doing okay out there?
Oh, it's good. Are you bragging? You're bragging.
Well,
You know, fine. Yeah.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
It's your day in the sun.
Yeah, get out in the sun and make it the day that is yours.
Get a tan. A perfect golden brown tan.
Well, make sure to, you know, sunscreen up. Be safe.
You ruin everything. You ruin all
no
the fun.
Fun.
No fun. But you're also like, drink a lot of alcohol while you're in the sun.
Yeah, I am like
that. Because it hydrates you.
I mean, lots of things hydrate you.
Yeah, cigarette.
We're all water. Everything's water.
Yeah, cigarette water.
Ooh, yeah.
Alcohol water.
Oh, tell me more.
We want to say hello to anyone who's listening, spreading the good word about Ghost Town, supporting the show. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I wouldn't say more than you know. It's probably as much as you know. Probably exactly as much as you know.
Yeah.
No more, no less.
No, that's it. You got it.
Yeah.
You understand.
Yeah.
We don't have to say anything else about it, really.
We want to say, yo,
ooh,
to our government, where would we be without them?
Nowhere.
In this one, they set the SPFs of the sun. Got a real summer theme going on.
Yeah,
here.
I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm manifesting. Not that I...
You're manifesting summer? An inevitable season?
But it's probably my least favorite season.
Oh, same. It's hot.
Yeah.
But okay, keep going.
They're like, oh... Wait, I'm sure, like, oh, you have a six pack, but it's a little bit pale. And I'm like, oh, God.
This Barbie has a six pack.
They're like, you look like you're about to turn 30, loser. And I'm just put my shirt on.
That's hard.
And just get my Ferrari and drive away.
Oh, that sucks.
We want to say hello to the mayors. You can find this person catching a wave, getting a rip curl. Hanging 10.
This is the worst one you've done yet.
Mm-hmm. Just looking for the for that big, the big wave, the big kahuna, won't quit until they find that big wave. Like, no, no, don't. You know, he's like, I can't, unless I find the big wave, I'm not alive, babe.
God damn.
That would be Ashley Mattson.
I'm sorry.
And with a metal detector in hand, looking for a big treasure on the beach, big treasure. Not looking for some old boot.
Mm-mm. Gold bullion.
We want the good stuff. A safe filled with gold bullion and diamonds. But also looking for that big find, that big money find. They're like, no, 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 stop. Just take what you can get. It's like, hey, babe. Till I get that big find, I'm not going to stop metal detecting. That'd be Cat Joselle.
I'm sorry.
And looking to pave over that whole beach because it doesn't produce enough money. Wants to put a strip mall and hotel and casino and more hotel and casino land developer Baron. And everyone's like, please, you put up enough hotels and casinos and you've wiped out all the mom and pop stores. When will it end? Listen, babe, I won't stop until I have the biggest casino and hotel. That'd be Charlie Gilbert.
I'm sorry.
And our governor, who doesn't want to find or make anything. And why would they when they're just sitting up in Cloud City, not the one from Empire Strikes Back, just a different Cloud City. I don't want to get sued by it.
No.
It's a lot. It's they're like, oh, that. No, there's more than one Cloud City in this one.
That's right.
Just sitting up, looking down, going, ha, 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 hotels, metal detectors, the perfect wave. Those are all nice. I don't know. Try being omnipotent. Is that the right word?
That's right. That's okay. Right.
I was thinking about it as I was saying it. I was like, you're going to say this wrong because you dropped out of college so many times. That would be our governor, all-knowing. And I based that a lot on her Instagram stories, wondering what this person does, how they do it, why are they so interesting, and why I want details of why all this is happening. I put up a story, and it's like, oh, okay, you're lost and alone in the world, like you just want people to think you're alive, and it looks like a very boring thing, but this their governor is just living it and breathing it in Cloud City or not Cloud City. That would be
Avian Noble, bro. Dan.
If you want early access, no chit chat, bonus episodes, just put one up. You want to binge, baby? Got a lot of bonies in there. Check them out. 7 days free. You can just listen and then just be like, you know what? I'm good. And you can bail.
Yeah. Shut it down.
We don't care. No. What do we care?
We like it.
Get what you can. Get what you can from Patreon.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Squeeze them dry.
Absolutely.
Bring them down or support us. Either one.
Yeah. Big Patreon.
Yeah.
Who knows? How do you feel about that?
It's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
All right. I'm going to take a deep breath and compose myself. And then let's get back to the incubus curse. After three deaths, a divorce, and a bankruptcy, the most shocking aftermath of what some call the incubus curse was yet to come. Eloise Hart, who played sister succubus Amael, booked steady acting gigs all her life and eventually became the sixth wife of pulp author Hans Habe, a Hungarian Jewish refugee turned best-selling author. The marriage wouldn't last, but the two had a daughter they named Marina Habe. Hart looked after Marina as a child, eventually sending her to Hawaii for college, where she was working towards an arts degree with plans on becoming an actor just like her mom. In any case, after Incubus's release, Marina returned home to Los Angeles. In 1968, Marina and her mom spent Christmas together, a little mother-daughter time before Marina would head back to school in January. On December 29th, Marina and her date, 22-year-old John Hornberg, were out with some other couples at the Troubadour, watching a young stand-up and character actor named Larry Hankin, whom you might know from his much later roles as Carl Alphonse in Billy Madison, Officer Balzac in Home Alone, and numerous sitcom roles. This guy has been in everything, but I digress. Marina and John left the club at 11:30 p.m., arriving soon after at John's Brentwood home. The two, let's just say, spent some time in Marina's expensive sports car outside the house for a couple of hours. And at 3:15 a.m., Marina changed out of her date outfit and into a white turtleneck sweater, a fur trim coat, and brown capris. She then began to drive to West Hollywood, where she lived with her mother on 8962 Cynthia Street. Back in West Hollywood, Eloise Hart was awakened by the sound of a muffler and went to the front of the house to check it out. There she spotted an unknown black vehicle in her driveway. Marina's car was also in the driveway at that point, but Marina was nowhere to be seen. Eloise saw a young man in his 20s running towards the black car yelling, "Let's go," and the car took off. Eloise called the police, who claimed that Marina was taken from her own car, the evidence being that the car's handbrake was set with such force that authorities thought it impossible for petite Marina to have done so herself. Search helicopters circled the area for 2.5 days when, on January 1, 1969, 4 miles from her home, a couple walking down Mulholland Drive noticed a purse on the side of the road. Inside was Marina's credit cards, makeup, and some cash. 30 feet away from there, a man walking his dog discovered Marina's body down a ravine. There are many conflicting reports on the condition of Marina's body. Some allege that she was killed just hours after her kidnapping, others that she was held captive for over a day and then killed. Though headlines would suggest that Marina was raped and found nude, the official coroner's report was released on January 2, 1969, and concluded that Marina was fully clothed, had recently had consensual sex, most likely with her date John Hornburg in her car. She had alcohol in her system, and her last meal was vegetarian. She was found with two black eyes and blunt force trauma to her head, stabbed numerous times in her chest and neck by multiple knives. Her throat was cut so violently that her left carotid artery was severed, and her liver was lacerated. But none of these wounds were fatal separately, was listed as exsanguination, or death by excessive blood loss. From this, the coroner determined that there was more than one person involved in Marina's murder. Also worth noting, a motorcycle frame was found close to her body in the heavily wooded ravine. Despite 6 detectives and 20 deputies on the homicide case, no suspects were released to the media and Marina Habe's homicide was never solved. But a certain theory has emerged over the years, a theory involving the Manson family. While pretty much every late 1960s unsolved California murder is blamed on the Mansons, or, like, touches on them in some way, Marina Habe was said to have been friendly with some of the Manson family members, like Bobby Beausoleil and Tex Watson. And then there's the motorcycle frame close to Marina's body. At the time, the Manson family ran an illegal car and motorcycle chop shop in the desert, next to Spahn Ranch, making small money by bringing in stolen auto parts. In fact, their 16-year-old supplier, Mark Glenn Waltz, was eventually found shot to death and dumped into Topanga Canyon near Mulholland Drive. But some close to Marina at the time say that this is pretty bogus, that Marina was, quote, too square, a privileged celebrity's kid, and also she was in Hawaii most of her teenage years. But, as the Lost Girls blog notes, Angela Lansbury's daughter Deidre joined the Manson family in the 1960s, despite also being a very wealthy and well-connected Nepo baby. So a connection with the Manson family might seem possible, at least it does to me. Charles Manson was in fact interviewed about Marina's death, but he had an alibi. He was at a New Year's Eve party thrown by John and Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas. Of course, this is Manson, so who knows? Poor Eloise was never able to recover from the murder of her only child, and spent years guiltily obsessing over it. She died at 99 years old in 2017. But let's, for a moment, leave the heartache and loss of Marina Habe's murder and touch back on the film Incubus itself. Strangely, during the late 60s to the year 2000, the film had, for all extensive purposes, disappeared. The original print of the film had been inexplicably burned in a fire, and all copies were reported damaged, destroyed, or lost. Until the new millennium, when a copy of the film mysteriously turns up in France. The Sci-Fi Channel funded the film's restoration efforts, and Incubus was released as a special edition DVD in 2001 that included subtitles in English and French. Despite its resurgence, critics were still not impressed, calling the film, quote, a dud, so pretentious and arty that it nearly drowns in dull, studied technique, and, quote, a noble attempt at bargain basement surrealism. Whatever your thoughts are on this film, nobody can argue that Incubus affected many people, some more permanently and profoundly than others.